2018 was a busy year for news on Earth, and it was also a busy year in space. Joining us now to look at the year in astronomy is Dean Regas, an astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and author. His most recent book is 100 Things to See in the Night Sky. Dean, welcome back to Here and Now.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
And as you look back at 2018 in space, what do you think is the biggest space story of the year? What's the most important one for you?
Well, I mean, I think there's the there's the new Milky Way map we've made. There's the Mars lander, the InSight lander. But I think the story that really captured people's attention, which was really weird, was that interstellar interloper, it was called. This object that came from deep space outside
Oumuamua,
the solar system.
They call it, right?
Oumuamua. Okay. And it's one of those things that, you know, you never know what's going to capture the public's attention. But what really did it was this little rocky object that was tumbling end over end, comes through the solar system. And then some scientists write a paper with this crazy theory that, wait a second, maybe it's an alien spacecraft from another world. And I read that. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Oh, geez. But it took off in the media and people's imagination was really captured.
How did they figure out where it was coming from so quickly? It's so far away. There's so much stuff out there.
Yeah, so with Oumuamua, it was only seen after it passed by the Earth. It passed us by a long shot, too. I mean, it wasn't like right around the corner. And we saw it on its way out. And you could just measure its just do a couple data points, its trajectory, and you can tell where it came from. And this one came from outside the solar system, the first of its kind that we've ever seen.
Okay, well, that brings us to another big story of the year, which is that Voyager 2, which launched from Earth decades ago, did make it into interstellar space.
Yeah, this is a milestone for this long-reaching mission, Voyager 2, and you know, it did so many things passing by so many planets and showing things of these worlds in our solar system, and now it's showing evidence that it's reached the what some astronomers call the edge of our solar system. I kind of have a little different opinion. It's where the solar wind kind of stops, and you can intermingle and see other interstellar materials, basically where it's at. But to get out of the solar system, I have kind of a different definition. It's got to get past the gravity well of the sun, which is quite a ways to go. It's only been gone 40 years, but if it needs to get to the next star and visit another star, it's still got right around 100,000 years to go. So it's still got a long way to go to get out of the solar system.
But it's still sending messages back to Earth.
That's what's so amazing is this little thing with the power of like a light bulb is still pinging and sending back information to us after about four decades.
Wow. The other thing that we have to talk about is the Parker Solar Probe. This is the mission launched from Earth to the sun.
This is one of those gutsy missions where they're trying to fly a spacecraft very, very close to the sun. Now, that sounds like a horrible, horrible idea. But yet, if you go fast enough and you skim through the outer corona, then you can maybe survive. I say maybe because nobody's ever done it. But it already made one close-ish pass by the sun, and it's going to go up to 25 more times, these dives that'll go through the corona, which is this mysterious part of the sun that is really hot, like millions of degrees. So the only way it's going to survive going through that is if it's going really fast. And so the top speed is going to be around 700,000 kilometers an hour.
And what is it supposed to learn from this?
Well, yeah, that's the big mystery is, so the surface of the sun is about 10,000 degrees. The farther you are away from the sun, you think it would get cooler and cooler. But for some reason, the corona is 1 million to 2 million degrees Fahrenheit, and nobody knows why. And we're hoping to figure out that this might answer that question, is why is it hotter farther from the sun than on the surface itself?
Okay. And what about InSight? Landed on Mars not too long ago. This is different than the rovers that have been sent to Mars before. This is going to stay in one place and learn about Mars quakes and other things.
Yeah, this is a real cool geological mission. They're going to try to see what's going on underneath Mars. And because, you know, that's not something that we've studied a lot before. We have all these rovers that are rolling around, and we have these close-up pictures that we can get from orbit. So it's not going to be as flashy of those missions with rovers rolling around, but I love that first picture that's sent back. It was kind of like a selfie of the surface of Mars. And if nothing else, I think people really love watching the NASA scientists cheer whenever Mars rovers land. I don't know. There's something about geeks like cheering, and I don't know what it is. People love that.
We're talking with Dean Regas, who's an astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory, about the biggest space stories of the year. Now, you mentioned the space map. What is that?
Well, so very recently, the astronomers made the best ever map of the Milky Way, our galaxy. And so our galaxy, we estimate, has between 200 and 400 billion stars in it. Think of it as this big pinwheel of stars. And so the latest map has a chart of 1.7 billion of those stars, like individual pinpoints of stars on there. And it's one of those things that it's hard for us to picture what our own galaxy looks like because we're inside of it. We can see other galaxies like the Andromeda Galaxy and the Sombrero Galaxy. But what ours looks like is tough because we're inside of it. And this map is just amazing. You can just zoom in onto all these different stars and it's like you're there. Well, we are there.
It was a year in which there were a number of launches of private spacecraft or satellites and things like that. These private companies from Elon Musk and Richard Branson and others. Anything notable there?
Well, this is one of the future things that are going to be happening is that it might be more and more private spacecrafts going up. And this year really marked that. There's been kind of this backlash that, you know, the Americans can't send their own spacecrafts. NASA doesn't do manned missions anymore. But I kind of look at it two different ways. One is that we've had this unbelievable golden age of unmanned missions that we've been allowed to do with all these things going to asteroids and all the planets and everything like that. But it's a very exciting thing to see private companies getting involved with this. Is it something that can be profitable? Is it something that will eventually get tourists up there? That's still to be determined. I'm kind of nervous to ride up a rocket, you know, as a tourist myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's something that could be part of the industry in the future to send people to low Earth orbit or the ultimate one, go to the moon as a tourist.
Well, and actually, I've heard some predictions that that could happen in the next 10 or 15 years. People could be doing that.
It is within our capabilities. It's an exciting prospect. And so you look forward, you look to the future and you think, well, let's go to a Mars mission and we have a manned Mars mission. It's not necessarily going to be NASA led. It could be any sorts of different agencies.
Any other big stories of the year that we should talk about?
Well, I think the other one that I thought was really cool was the landing on an asteroid. It's the Hayabusa 2 mission. It's a Japanese spacecraft, unmanned spacecraft that landed on an asteroid called Ryugu. And this mission is really kind of cool because it's really hard to land on an asteroid. This thing's only about a kilometer in diameter. And so that's like it's trying to land on something that is so tiny with such little gravity that you hit it and you might just bounce right off. And so far, three of the landers have made it successfully, and they're hoping to bring some rocks back from this asteroid. This is like a really long-range mission. It'll take won't be back to Earth until 2020. And so it's one of those things we're just going to keep our eyes on.
And was Bruce Willis there when they landed it on the
asteroid?
Yes,
and they blew it up. No, it's still there. And and of course, that movie is something that you never want to watch if you really want to know how to deflect an asteroid.
And what about the total lunar eclipse coming up on January 20th? Where will people be able to see
that? Oh, yeah. So this is looking at the big events of 2019. The lunar eclipse is definitely the big story. January 20th that night, we'll have a total lunar eclipse across all of the United States, pretty much all the Western Hemisphere. For Eastern time zone, it starts at 10:33 p.m., goes till midnight when it's in totality, and then ends about 1:50 in the morning on the 21st. And so that's the tricky part, is to know what day it is.
I was in England for a total lunar eclipse once, and I remember being in Trafalgar Square and looking up and seeing it and then wanting to show it to everybody and stopping people on the street and saying, look, there's a lunar eclipse. And they're like, no, I haven't got time. And they just kept on walking.
Are you kidding
me? No, they did. They were like, don't bother me.
I have two favorite parts about lunar eclipses. I love when it starts. So at 10:33, that's when you can first see the shadow of the Earth on the moon. And then I love totality, when it's all in the shadow of the Earth and it turns all eerie colors of orange and red. And the plus for this eclipse is that it's a Sunday night, but Monday is Martin Luther King Day. And I think a lot of people have off work and school that day, so it's a good excuse to stay up late.
Dean Regas, astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and author of 100 Things to See in the Night Sky. Dean, thanks a lot and Happy New Year.
My pleasure. Keep looking up, guys.